BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies, and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120. Or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
The following program is sponsored by Horn Marketing and Consulting.
It's time now for Sports Talk, and here's your Sports Talk host, Greg Horn, here on AM 1250 WLRT.
Good afternoon. Welcome into a Wildcat Wednesday 1250 Sports Talk. I am Action Jackson Reams. Joined today by my father, Rick Reams, back in studio. Fantastic day outside, and we want to thank BurgerFi here in Lexington for being our sponsor of the day today. They already have the one location over by the Fayette Mall Movie Cinemas, are adding another location down by Memorial Coliseum, and just recently opened up a third location in Cincinnati. So a place that's really thriving, and we appreciate them sponsoring our Wildcat Wednesday shows. Today, I unfortunately was unable to get an ex-Wildcat, but I did get a guy who's been around this area for a long time and has been at some UK events recently that we're going to get to talk to a lot about. Steve Moss of WKYT, the executive sports producer. So we'll talk to him in our second segment. But in this first segment, we're going to talk a whole lot of baseball. And that is because there's just not a ton of breaking news these days. There are a couple of breaking stories we'll get to later, but I wanted to stay regionally appropriate in our first segment. So we got to start with the UK baseball team, 10th ranked in the country, taking on second ranked Louisville last night. It was a game we talked a lot about before it actually happened this week, and a game that Kentucky went out and got an 11-7 win over the Cards, breaking their six-game losing streak to Louisville. It's their first win over the Cardinals since April 15th of 2014, and it was in front of a record sellout at Cliff Hagan Stadium of 4,018 people. It was a great game. I think a lot of Big Blue Nation paid attention to it, and clearly, based on the numbers of how many people showed up, sounds like baseball is becoming a big thing here in Lexington.
Yeah, I think it bodes well for the new stadium that they're building and everything. I think it's just, people are just excited about it. I heard them say on the TV last night, I got to see it most of the game. The first of the game I couldn't hear, but I did hear them at one time say on the TV that, you know, like you and Jennings said yesterday, this is the same team they had last year. They've just infused different energy. Whatever Nick Mangione's doing, he needs to bottle that up and just keep on going. But, Jackson, I don't want to go too far before I wish my daughter, your sister, Rachel Reams, a happy birthday, her 28th birthday. Unbelievable. But so I guess we could say that her pre-birthday present was the Cats winning over the Cards.
And I'm sure she really appreciated that win last night. Kentucky up 11-0 after four innings, but Louisville responded instantly in the fifth and sixth innings, picking up seven unanswered runs to make it 11-7 before Kentucky was able to slam the door shut in the seventh, eighth, and ninth. The 11 runs were the most versus Louisville that Kentucky has scored since March 30th of 2005, and it's tied for the most runs scored on the Cardinals all year this year. Kentucky, though, still has a big week. Like we've mentioned, and we will continue to mention, they host a number 8 ranked LSU Tigers in this weekend, and Kentucky sitting at 17-2 now at home this season. So going to try to continue their hot streak at Cliff Hagin Stadium. And I think the biggest note of last night was the triple play that they pulled off. A left field catch being thrown in by Zach Rex to throw out the runner at the plate, and then the catcher was able to throw out a runner heading to third base. Number one play on SportsCenter last night, and something that, according to the SID at Kentucky, may not have ever happened, but definitely hasn't happened since at least 2003 when they started keeping extensive digital recording or record keeping back in 2003.
Yeah, and according, Jackson, to the SEC Network, a 7-2-6 triple play, has only happened once, 1923, in Major League Baseball history. So, hey, man, record setting. It's an unbelievable play. You know, Jackson, that ball wasn't hit very deep. I was surprised the kid tried to tag from third and score, but he did.
Yeah, Rex was able to make that play. He caught the ball in shallow left field, threw it all the way into home, and after they tagged out the runner, they were able to catch the guy from second going to third and get that triple play. A really fantastic play. If you haven't seen it yet, it's all over Twitter, so go ahead and check that out. It was a game where there were obviously a lot of runs scored. Kentucky chased Louisville starter Shane Hummel after just one out. The guy had given up 4 runs, and the only out he had made was on a sacrifice bunt before he was pulled. It led to 11 total pitchers being used in last night's game, 6 for Louisville, 5 for Kentucky, and I believe this is the kind of game Kentucky had wished they had gotten to play against Louisville the first time around, because from what I heard last night, I think Kentucky leads the SEC in offense, and so these high-scoring games are the kinds of games that Nick Mangione's squad probably feels most comfortable in.
Yeah, it's they put a lot of runs on the board. It did get a little harried there. It's kind of funny when you're up 11-7. Usually you think, oh well, that's a good lead, we're fine. But when you're up 11-0, they score 7 in a row. You know, Jackson, you mentioned Steve Moss is going to be on a little bit. If you all follow him on Twitter, or you should follow him on Twitter, he has a great view that he taped of the triple play. It's a little different view than I've seen from other places. And, I mean, a lot of times, or on some of the highlights I've seen, it's hard to tell what happened at third base. But he had a great view of that, a great video up there. But, you know, with any team that scores a lot of run, that's what fans come to see. You know, a lot of baseball purists like 1-0 games and things like that, but the fans come out to see the 11-7 games like that and everything. And, you know, Jackson, the thing I liked about it is it seemed like the UK team and the UK fans were having a good time last night, and that's good to see. And, again, like I say, with them building a new stadium, I think that's just – to infuse that excitement this year for the coming years is just a great thing.
Well, I'm definitely kicking myself that I didn't go to that game last night, but it looked like a lot of fun. One funny note was that I saw former UK player Dorian Hairston, whose brother plays for Louisville. His brother's name is Devin Hairston. Looked like he was dressed in all UK gear. He had a UK jersey and a UK hat on. But when his brother Devin would come up to bat, he put his UK hat in his back pocket, put on a Louisville visor just for his brothers at bat, and then would take it back off after his brother batted. So plenty of connections between those two teams, and congratulations to Kentucky for getting that win. It was also a record-setting night for the Cincinnati Reds. They went out and got a 9-3 win over the Baltimore Orioles, and they stuck it to me because Bronson Arroyo finally got a win. The guy went 5 innings, pitched 3 earned runs. He gets his first major league win since June 15th of 2014 when he was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. His first win for the Reds since September of 2013. And it's the first win by a Red starter 40 years or older since 1945. I've got to admit, I did not see Bronson Arroyo picking up a win against really anyone before he would be inevitably cut. But it looks like maybe I was wrong for this specific event.
Yeah, with I'm as hard as on him as you are, Jackson. I just kind of rolled my eyes when I heard he was back. But, you know, the Reds are in such a pickle with their all their players that are on the DL, the pitchers that are on the disabled list. So, you know, they got to get something out of Bronson Arroyo. And he's the guy that's there. I think they called up a couple kids from Louisville the other night. Don't know really what they are. But as you mentioned earlier this week, one of the local guys that people like, Adam Duvall, with his first career grand slam, the Reds were up 9-1 after three innings. So you talk about a juggernaut offense both in Lexington and Cincinnati. It happened last night. It'd be great to see if it can keep on happening.
Yeah, if you're a guy who or a guy or gal who likes a lot of runs in baseball and you like this region as far as the Cincinnati Reds, UK baseball, maybe even pay attention to UofL, all of the offense was going last night, so it was a lot of fun to watch. The Reds improved to 9-5, and they will host those Orioles yet again tonight at 7:10 p.m., and that is when the St. John's former basketball player, Amir Garrett, will have his first home start of his career, 2-0 right now with a 1.42 ERA, and that is all on the road. So hopefully he'll be able to continue with his hot streak, and we'll get to see that tonight. Like I said, I talk about when the Reds, when they win, they drop 3 of 4 to the Brewers over the weekend, so I didn't really want to talk about them. But once they get back on the winning track, they've now won 2 in a row again. I'm all for talking about Cincinnati.
Yeah, I think this is a time that we, like you said earlier this week, I think it was on Monday when you said, we need to go up and watch them play. So I think this may be the time to go watch them play. This kid that's pitching tonight, this Amir Garrett, I would love to just watch him pitch, you know, in person. If it's like normal, it's not hard to get a Reds ticket. Also, Jackson, I'd like to maybe head out this weekend while your mom's gone and check out that LSU, one of the LSU games with UK. I haven't been, I'll be honest with you. I worked one as security one time. The last time I went to UK game, I believe, was your birthday party when you were 7 or 8.
Young on that one. Yeah, definitely. Well, fantastic weather outside, so make sure you take advantage of those games going on in our region. We'll be back in our next segment with Steve Moss of WKYT. We're going to talk to him about that UK baseball game. He was also there for the UK spring football game this weekend, and we'll talk with him about that right when we get back. I'm Action Jackson Reams with my dad, Rick Reams, right here on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
Hi, I'm Greg Horn with Sports Talk. Are you a basketball junkie like I am and looking for a great place to watch college basketball? Look no further. Shamrock's Bar and Grill is the place to be to enjoy great food, and they've got lots of TVs to help you watch your favorite college basketball and NBA team. Locally owned, Shamrock's Bar and Grill has two locations, on Patchen Drive and in the Heartland Shopping Center. Hope to see you soon at Shamrock's Bar and Grill.
Each show, we like to take a minute to thank one of our long-term sponsors, Asbury University. Did you know that with graduation rates 2 to 5 times higher than public universities in Kentucky and retention rates better than any school in the regional college rankings, that Asbury was named the number one college in the South in 2015 by U.S. News and World Report and has been in the top 5 every year since 2012? If a nationally ranked private education at an affordable price interests you or your student at home, email Asbury at admissions@asbury.edu. Congratulations to McGee's Bakery celebrating their 60th anniversary. family-owned since 1956, everyone knows that McGee's Bakery is a great place to start your day. However, did you know that McGee's also serves lunch? You can enjoy great sandwiches and homemade soups. Also, for the heartier appetite, enjoy one of McGee's delicious burgers. Schedule your next lunch meeting at McGee's, located on the corner of South Ashland and Main Street. Make sure to tell them you heard about them on 1250 Sports Talk.
CMI is your full-service human resources provider in Central Kentucky. For 15 years, CMI Human Resources has taken great pride in helping organizations and people work. Whether it's employee handbooks or help in filling a position, no job is too large or too small for CMI. Contact the professionals today at CMI Human Resources, 859-296-2800, or online at cmiconsulting.com.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to 1250 Sports Talk. Action Jackson Reams here with my dad, Rick Reams. Right now on the phone trying to work on getting Steve Moss on, being able to hear us right now is the issue for that, and hopefully we're able to hear him. So while I work on that, there were a couple of stories that came out today. First of all being that Aaron Hernandez apparently hung himself in his prison cell today. Was wondering what your thoughts were on that, and hopefully I can get Steve Moss on the line right now.
A strange story. They, with them talking about him just being acquitted for having murdered another person, and they showed his reaction after the acquittal, and he was just ecstatic. And then to hear the news today, Jackson, I've heard some people say that there's a you know, a conspiracy, that there's no way the guy would kill himself, but just a really sad situation for a guy like that who came out of the University of Florida with all kinds of talent, had a great couple of years in the NFL, but just couldn't control his demons, his inner demons with gangs and different things like that. So just a sad story, a sad ending to a tragic life of a guy who had a lot to offer.
And it was very strange. You know, we had just seen him in court just a few days ago, and then this came out today. So just really crazy stuff that had been going on out there. Currently, I do have Steve Moss on the line. Oh. I got to turn him down a little bit so that we don't get all that audio feedback. I do have him on the line. He can hear us now, which is good to note because that would have been unfortunate. Steve, do you have any thoughts on this whole Aaron Hernandez thing? Obviously, that was a guy that you had seen in person play football a couple of times when he was at Florida. And just crazy how things went downhill so quickly in his life.
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of been fascinated from a standpoint of trying to figure out who this guy was. So over the last, over the last year, I've read quite a bit on Aaron Hernandez. And yeah, we saw him play at Commonwealth Stadium a couple of times. And, as was mentioned, kind of a tragic figure who certainly, went about the wrong business of trying to influence people and got caught up in that whole lifestyle. Interesting that he was brought up in a suburban life. He had both parents around most of his childhood. He had a brother. So it wasn't like some of these stories we hear about where, he had a hard, troubled early life. You know, it was quite the opposite, and he went out looking for the gangster life and ultimately found it, and we know the rest of the story. So just, a very troubling end to a very troubling story.
I think that's very well put, and I believe he leaves behind a four-year-old, so our thoughts are with his family and all those that are left behind. We'll move over to a much happier note. Last night, a big-time baseball game, the first top 10 matchup of four games at home this week for Kentucky baseball against top 10 teams. They defeat number 2 Louisville 11-7, breaking their 6-game losing streak against the Cardinals. You were there, and it looked like it was a very highly attended game, looked like there was a lot of energy, and just wanted to hear what your thoughts were.
Yeah, I think the listed crowd was 4,018, which would be a new Cliff Hagan regular season record. I think we've seen more for a College World Series an NCAA tournament game. But, you know, last night it was packed to the gills. You know, we've seen this before with the UofL series, and the Wildcats looking to split the series. They lost earlier this year over in Louisville. So, and Louisville was ranked number one at the time. So, you know, the Cardinals are a very good team, and it would surprise me if they end up in Omaha again this year, but Kentucky is probably the surprise team of the South, at least the SEC anyway. You know, they're now ranked in the top 10. They got a huge effort last night from Thompson, the lefty freshman, who is their midweek guy. You know, it was good to see those guys jump out early. They scored five in the first and then four in the third, and then had a big triple play in the second inning that kept a couple of Louisville runs anyway off the board. So what new coach Nick Mangione has done over there is he's changed the attitude, and kind of what Mark Stoops has had to do with the football program, Nick has kind of had to change the culture a little bit. So it's been fun to watch, and these guys will go for a big series win this week when LSU, ranked number 8 in the country, comes into town on Friday.
Well, I know that every team is trying to win every game regardless of venue, but this Kentucky team is now 17-2 at Cliff Hagin Stadium. What do you think has made them so successful at home compared to, I believe they're about 9-10 on the road, from what I saw at least on a graphic last night?
Well, I mean, I think there's just that comfort factor when you play at home. That's where you practice. That's where you go out and you get in the cage and you're in the hitting barn there. You get to sleep in your own bed. I think there's something to be said for that. You know, but more importantly, like last night, you've got 4,000 people behind you, and it was pretty vocal both in the stands and out behind the right field wall and the cliff, they call it, out there on the patio. So I just think there's this comfort factor, and of course, you know, you've got to win the games at home. So Kentucky has hit the ball well here, but more importantly, they've pitched the ball well here. So and you know, to be fair, they have won all but one series, I believe, actually all but two series on the road. They lost their opening series of the year at North Carolina, who's probably going to end up in the College World Series, either Carolina or Louisville or both, depending on how the brackets shake out down the road. You know, and then they dropped a series at Mississippi State. But they won a series at Missouri. They won a series at Texas A&M. They've played very well on the road. So, you know, to be fair, they've won the games that they should win, and it's one of the reasons they're two games up in the East.
Steve, this is Rick. Quick question, and I know it's hard. There's a bunch of different factors, but what do you see as the difference? You know, this is basically the same team that Kentucky had last year, and the results last year were so much different than they are this year. We came close but didn't quite make the tournament and everything. So what do you see as one of the major contributing factors to the difference of this team this year?
Well, I think it's just attitude. I think what Nick Mangione has been able to do is he's an ultra-positive guy. You know, he let us in, we do his coaches show over here. He let us into, the locker room to the clubhouse last week before the UT Martin game. And we got to see, how he conducts video, sessions with his players, both on hitting and pitching. And there wasn't any negative, there wasn't any negativity to it at all. It was all positive. It was all backed by positive feedback. And I told him afterward, I said, I'm really proud of you because, you know, you could be a guy who tears these guys down and then you want to build them back up. But it's all positively reinforced, which is very impressive. And I think that's probably the single most thing is that he finally has these guys believing they're good. Now, you know, the scouts have told us they may have only maybe three or four guys who project into the draft. But you've got 10, 11 guys when you consider your position players and some of your pitchers who believe they're that good and they're playing probably a little beyond what they're really capable of. So I think it's been attitude. And then, you know, surprisingly, the pitching staff that he has this year. He inherited a bunch of relievers. He has no starters from last year. And so those guys have been pretty darn good, the Friday, Saturday, Sunday guys, Sean Jelly and guys like that who never started prior to this year. He's gotten big innings out of those guys. So I think that those two things probably to me have been the difference.
Well, they'll look to continue that success when they host number 8 LSU this weekend, and I imagine there will be plenty of people to go watch those games as well. I want to switch over to another event that you were recently at when Kentucky football had their spring game over the weekend. I believe they were actually top 10 in terms of how many tickets were distributed for the entire country. I was there as well. I thought it was a decent crowd, a decent atmosphere. And I was wondering, first, before we comment on the actual game, what your thoughts on the atmosphere and the setup and moving it to a Friday night game, how you thought that impacted the overall game?
I thought probably the SEC network, the league, probably had a little to do with the fact that they're playing it on a Friday night, meaning that all the games in the league were televised live, I believe. So playing it on a Friday night was probably predetermined by the league for TV purposes. I think it probably limited the number of people who showed up compared to, what was it, a couple of years ago, we had like 35,000 there. I don't believe there were 35,000 there, but a good crowd nonetheless. So, you know, I think probably a few people stayed home and watched it on TV, but, you know, it's so hard to tell from these spring games because of it being on TV. I thought maybe Stoops played it a little closer to the vest. You know, Benny Snell, I believe, had 3 carries. Certainly he's not going to carry the ball any less than 10 times a game during the regular season. So, you know, little things like that, I think maybe we didn't see enough of because it was on live TV. But, you know, I thought overall, I thought it was a good crowd. And, you know, this team is going to be much improved even over last year.
And then on the field, there were plenty of different things that stood out. I know Gunnar Hoke was a bright spot. There were a couple of bright young guys on defense that did really well. The big concern seemed to be the performance of Steven Johnson, just 8 of 18 on passing. But I think that a lot of people need to remember it is a spring game. Did it concern you at all that he had just a rough spring game?
Maybe a little. And he said afterward, he said the result of what we saw on the field was because he was a little more greedy. He was trying to make throws that he didn't make last year that he knows he's not really capable of making. So it concerned me a little, but from everything we heard over the course of the spring, Steven Johnson is by far and away the guy. Now, I was, like you, I was impressed by Gunnar Hoke. I thought he was very poised. I thought he threw the ball very well, looked very comfortable back there. So, you know, if Drew Barker is given the clearance to play, and by all indications he will be in the mix again in the fall to compete for the starting job, I think the fact is you've got 3 quarterbacks back there who look to be the part anyway of an SEC-caliber quarterback. I think that bodes well for Kentucky, obviously. You know, I was impressed by Saheem King, the little running back from Georgia who now inherits the role of Boom Williams. And I was impressed with a couple of guys on defense, specifically a Boogie Watson at linebacker, where Kentucky needs desperately some depth at linebacker, and they need to find some guys up front who are going to get some push and put some pressure on the opposing quarterback. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see when the freshmen arrive on campus, because I think Mark Stoops clearly is hoping that some of those guys break through, that we, you know, guys that we didn't see this spring because they're still in high school. I think Stoops is clearly hoping a couple of those guys will break through and get some playing time next year. So it'll be interesting to see, but overall, I think this program is on the uptick.
Well, with top wide receiver Jeff Badette departing from the program, heading on to Oklahoma, there's going to be a lot of different guys that are going to have to step up. Some of those guys did not play in that spring game. Both C.J. Conrad and Juice Johnson were out, and they will probably be big targets for Steven Johnson next year. But did any of those wide receivers, or maybe not even specific guys, do you think there's enough talent there and enough production that Stephen Johnson will be okay without Jeff Burdett next year?
I mean, it remains to be seen. Obviously, C.J. Conrad is coming off of shoulder surgery right after the season ended last year. Juice Johnson, my sources were telling me that Juice is kind of in the doghouse. There was nothing wrong with Juice. He was just benched for the spring game. I know he was in and out of the doghouse some of the spring. The guy who really impressed me is Kewan Ross, who played well early last season and then got hurt and was struggling with injuries for the rest of the year and really didn't see a whole lot of playing time. He looks the part of an NFL caliber receiver. He's big, he's rangy, he's tall. You know, he had the one touchdown catch on the fade pass from Hoke in the corner of the end zone. The guy that that I think everybody will be looking for improvement from will be Dorian Baker, who, you know, by all accounts, had a good spring. We saw in the blue-white game, though, he had some drops. I think he dropped a couple of passes, which has kind of been the bugaboo for him over the last two or three years. So, you know, not having seen the guys who would be freshmen coming in, who everybody talks up, you know, I was impressed with the freshman Thomas, who came in as an early enrollee. I think he had a touchdown catch. But I think that might be one of the biggest question marks going into the fall, into the season next year. You know, who's going to step up on the wide receiving core?
Well, Steve, we really appreciate you taking the time with us today. Want to send out our thoughts, and I'm sure you do as well, to Reggie Warford, who apparently did have his first meal today since his kidney transplant. And just wondering if that was a guy that you've had the pleasure to interact with very much.
You know, I've only been around him a couple of times. I don't think I've ever really met him. But obviously, growing up a Kentucky fan, I remember who Reggie Warford is, and I know he coached with John Calipari at Pitt. You know, Reggie's a longtime assistant coach at the college level and has certainly had his share of bad luck with the health issues. So, yeah, we hope everything works out this time and hope that he'll recover quickly.
And then actually one last thought. I was out of town when Greg Horn got to talk to Rob Bromley, but it sounded like that was a really cool time, and I'm sure that you all are going to really value your last couple of months working with him as he's set to retire in September.
Yep, late September. You know, it'll be kind of surreal there for the last couple of weeks. You know, it's you're so used to walking in and seeing Rob there, and he's been here 40 years, and I've been in the same office for probably, I don't know, I want to say about 28 of those years, 25 maybe. Well, I don't want to be too old. But, you know, he's a consummate professional, and there's not a nicer guy or a classier guy or a harder working guy. People, you know, see Rob on TV, but they don't realize what goes into walking out there and putting on a sportscast. I know you do because you interned with us here, but he's really one of the hardest working men in show business, so to speak. So it'll be sad to see Rob do his last sports cast, but he's earned the retirement. So, you know, he's going out on his terms, and you can't ask for anything more than that.
Well, absolutely, and good luck to you all with working down that last bit of time and when he decides to part. Hopefully we'll talk to you soon, Steve, and thanks again for coming on.
No problem, man. Anytime, you know that.
All right. That was Steve Moss with WKYT, executive sports producer there for quite a while and a guy who has been around a lot of the UK athletics just for a really long time. Great conversation with him there. That finishes up our second segment. When we return, we're going to talk a little bit of national news. Now, we were going to talk about that Aaron Hernandez story, but there's some other stuff we can discuss. We'll talk about that when we return. Action Jackson Reams, my dad Rick Reams, right here on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.
Mm-hmm. Nice shot, Jim.
Hey, thanks. You know, it's great to be out here and not at the shop.
Yeah.
Must be all that Action Coach business coaching.
Well, laugh if you want, but our revenues are up, and I'm working smarter on each of the six steps to a better business.
Instead of harder, like some people I know.
I don't know what Action Coach can tell me about my business. We had a record year last year.
Hey, look, every great athlete has a coach, even the world's best golfer, who had a record year last year, too.
Good point.
Now, listen, I've learned more about business in the last 3 months from my Action Coach than I ever have. I've also learned something else.
Yeah, what's that?
The best tee times are during the middle of the week.
Your local Action Coach in Central Kentucky is Andrew Van Horn. Contact Andrew at 859-940-5517. That's Andrew Van Horn at 859-940-5517. You deserve to have your own coach, too. Call Action Coach Andrew Van Horn today.
Flowers are the perfect present for any special occasion. Birthdays, anniversaries, celebrations of life. Creations by Karen wants to help you find the most beautiful bouquets and flower arrangements. Pick up your own at Creations by Karen's convenient location in Zandale Shopping Center off of Nicholasville Road. You could also call 859-277-6166 or check them out online at creationsbykaren.net. Make sure next time you let Creations by Karen help you pick out the perfect present to make a lasting memory.
BurgerFi, natural and proud of it. Our beef, it's beef. No hormones, no antibiotics, just 100% certified Angus. You know, the way nature intended. We really get cooking with other chef-driven favorites, made from scratch daily, like our crispy fries and double-battered onion rings, hand-cut and served with house-made sauces, fresh farm veggies and gourmet toppings, all with local craft beer and wine. But we don't stop at honest food. We're proud to commit to eco-friendly practices that improve every neighborhood we call home.
BurgerFi, 141 Rojay Drive, right next to Moe's and the Fayette Mall movie theaters.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to Sports Talk, third segment of the day with Action Jackson Reams and my dad Rick Reams. Want to thank BurgerFi of Lexington for being our sponsor of the day today. They've got that one location over by Fayette Mall Cinemas right now. I love their burgers and all of their food, really. I'm a big fries guy and a milkshake guy as well. So go check them out. Have a fantastic dinner. Thank them for sponsoring 1250 Sports Talk. And keep in mind, they've got a location now in Cincinnati and are about to open one down next to Memorial Coliseum as well on Avenue of Champions. We talked about the Aaron Hernandez thing a little bit. I still do want to mention a parting thought, just that, you know, for people out there who are not concerned or not saddened by the fact that he had killed himself due to the murders that he committed, I get it, but at the same time, I think you do need to keep in perspective that this is a guy who had everything. Like Steve Moss said, he grew up in a suburban family, so I'm sure he has a lot of family who are really going to miss the guy. He had a four-year-old daughter, so I do want to wish thoughts and prayers for all of them, and not because of how bad of a person he was, or I'm not completely forgetting how bad of a thing he did, but it is worth noting that, you know, there are plenty of people out there who did care about him quite a lot. Move over to the tennis world. Looks like Serena Williams is pregnant. And according to, she deleted the picture. It was a picture that she tweeted out that made it look like she was pregnant. Now, it's not for sure, so this can only be a thought. But if she is pregnant, she was likely pregnant during the Australian Open. Her 23rd Grand Slam, she did not drop one set and would have done that being pregnant. Just continues to show how amazing of an athlete she really is.
She is. It's just unbelievable. You know, especially the Australian Open, the heat that's there all the time and just different things. You know, Jackson, your mom ran a 5K with me when she was pregnant with Rachel, whose birthday's today once again, and she didn't know it, and she got deathly ill at the end of that race, which we thought was strange anyhow because your mom's a very good athlete. But to throw that on, if this is the case, I mean, that's just an unbelievable feat. I've heard other people ask this, so I'll ask the question to you, Jackson. Does that mean she won a singles and a doubles title?
I guess it's a worthy question. She does play doubles with her sister, Venus Williams, so she's used to winning with another Williams. But I would say no. I think you still got to consider just the singles title. But I'm not sure that many out there can even say they've ever accomplished that feat. I would imagine that may be the first ever event that that's happened. I would be really... not disappointed, because that's not the right word, but it would kind of suck for me as a fan of women's tennis. I really enjoy watching Serena Williams. If she's pregnant, she likely would be out for a little while, and that would kind of suck to not see her go out there and dominate each time. But if she is pregnant, and we're not sure she is, if she is, congratulations to her. The other story I wanted to talk about as far as national focus goes, and not really too many Kentucky notes to this, Shaquille O'Neal's son, Sharif O'Neal, out of California, committed to the Arizona Wildcats today. He's a guy that had been mentioned as a possibility for Kentucky. I had wondered what happened to him because I thought he was in the 2017 class. I was very confused. He is a 2018 player, though. And would you have wanted Shaquille O'Neal's son to come to Kentucky, or do you think that would have been even too much pressure on him on top of being at Kentucky and too many distractions with him being Shaquille O'Neal's son?
I think he would have done great here. And I think, Jackson, the telling thing to me is Shaquille O'Neal's the one that said he would really love for him to play for John Calipari. But, you know, in the same sense, I think it's great when a kid does that, when a kid's able to choose his own school. And, you know, he went to University of Arizona. I've never seen the kid play. I know nothing about him. I think it would have been a neat sideline to have Shaq here. But it very well could have been a distraction. But, you know, John Calipari is so good about those things. I think he could have made it work. But, you know, if the kid wants to be an Arizona Wildcat as opposed to a Kentucky Wildcat, that's fine. I just think he chose the wrong Wildcat school.
Yeah, well, I think it would have been fun to have Shaq around the area, do some interviews talking about Kentucky. Unfortunate, we may not get that to happen. But remember, he could always flip. I mean, you never know what could go on. So we'll close the book on the possibility of Shaquille O'Neal's son coming to play for Kentucky. That's going to do it for our segment here. When we come back, we've got some more Kentucky news going on. The final recruiting rankings came out for all four services. We'll look at that. The Winter SEC Academic Honor Roll came out, and there's some names on there we'll recognize. All of that and more when we return. Final segment here on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT with Action Jackson and my dad, Rick Reams, right after this break.
Do you dread going to the dentist? I did until I found Beaumont Family Dentistry. With three convenient locations in Hamburg, Leestown Road, and the Beaumont area, they can take care of all your dental needs at Beaumont Family Dentistry. This month, if you schedule your new patient cleaning appointment, you will receive a free take-home whitening kit at your initial visit. So call Beaumont Family Dentistry today at 223-2120 or check them out online at BeaumontFamilyDentistry.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Lee with the Kessinger Lee Financial Group. When you're looking to build a financial legacy after years of hard work, you need a financial partner that will do more than just buy and sell stocks and bonds. At the Kessinger Lee Financial Group of Hilliard Lyons, we build comprehensive wealth management plans for our clients. Whether you need to save for your child's education or build and preserve wealth for retirement, we help our clients with all aspects of their financial lives. Visit us today online at KessingerLeeGroup.com or call us at 859-219-4260 to talk with our team of experienced consultants. Let us help you move forward with financial confidence at the Kessinger Lee Group.
Securities offered by JJB Hilliard, WL Lyons, LLC member NYSE, FINRA, and SIPC.
Now back to Sports Talk with Greg Horn on AM 1250 WLRT.
Welcome back to 1250 Sports Talk, our last segment here, Action Jackson Reams and my dad Rick Reams. This Wildcat Wednesday presented to you by BurgerFi in Lexington. Go enjoy yourself a fantastic meal and thank them for being a sponsor of 1250 Sports Talk. We had Steve Moss on earlier from WKYT, the executive sports producer. He was at UK baseball win over Louisville last night and at the UK spring game as well. So we had a lot of really good discussions with him about those two events. If you missed it, make sure you check out the podcast. You can find those online at 1250sportstalk.com or on our Facebook and Twitter page simply at 1250 Sports Talk. And make sure you catch all of our shows on there. Coming back for this last segment, first thing I wanted to do was offer congratulations to the 70 Kentucky athletes who were named to the SEC Academic Honor Roll. That honor roll was not allowed to include freshmen, so who knows how Kentucky's basketball freshmen, any of those freshmen you have in mind, did. But there were a couple of names you would recognize, Johnny David and Dylan Pulliam, the two walk-ons for Kentucky, along with Ty Winyard and Isaac Humphreys, all from the men's basketball team, were included. And then how about this for the women's basketball team? All five starters and their top two reserves were all on the academic honor roll for 2016 and 17. That included Evelyn Akator, Mackenzie Cann, Michaela Epps, Jessica Harden, Macy Morris, Alyssa Rice, and Taylor Murray. So, hey, they're getting it done on the court and off the court as well. I think it continues to show that, yes, there may have been some questions about what happened with all those transfers with the women's program, but they're doing a lot of things right with Matthew Mitchell at the helm of the women's program.
Absolutely, and that's what, you know, you can say what you want, but especially with the major sports, a lot of these kids may not be able to get an education in another way just because of financial difficulties or something like this. But this just proves that these kids are coming in with their heads straight, square on square straight, that they know what they need to get done. And what they're doing is they're doing it in the classrooms. And people will tell you, well, if I had a tutor, my own personal tutor all the time, but you know, that doesn't really matter. We see that at North Carolina, where the tutors did the work for the kids and everything. But these kids, I think they should really be proud of themselves and proud of our program that we've been able to do that. And like same thing with men's basketball. So I think it's great that they reward these kids and that they let that be known, because we sure hear enough of the negative side of college athletics. I think it's good to hear the positives.
Absolutely. And so I wanted to make sure we took a minute to acknowledge all those players. And, of course, the 60 or so that we didn't get to right there. Congratulations to all of them. We said that the major recruiting services have now all released their 2017 basketball rankings. And so let's take a little bit of a look at where UK guys and their targets fared. I've had a problem in the past. I would usually go through here and read every single player's ranking from every single site. Don't worry, I will not do that. So I will tell you what their average ranking was, though. Hamidou Diallo, who's already at Kentucky, averaged 10th. Jared Vanderbilt averaged 13th. P.J. Washington, 14th. Nick Richards, 16th. Quade Green, 24th. Shai Alexander, 31st. He made a huge jump over on 247 all the way up to 19, about 29 spots, I believe, is what I heard. Jamal Baker, the new commitment from California, averaged 77th. And then for the three targets still left from high school rankings, at least, Muhammad Bamba was averaged 2nd. The only one he was not 2nd on was ESPN. They had him number 3. Kevin Knox averaged 11th. And then point guard Mark Smith from Illinois averaged 88th. It was the first time with a unanimous number 1 player on all four recruiting sites, Michael Porter Jr., since Andrew Wiggins back in 2013. Any thoughts, A, on anything for Kentucky side? And if not, do you believe that Michael Porter Jr. is going to be a superstar that it looks like he's being hyped up to be?
First of all, with the Kentucky, it's kind of interesting, Jackson. We've got great numbers there, but I'm not sure when the last time we didn't have a top 10 recruit. That's one thing that I find interesting. Not that you have to have a top 10 recruit, but I think it is interesting. You know, Jackson, ever since the Ben Simmons debacle at LSU, I'm a little skeptical of these number one guys that are supposed to be coming in doing all everything. I've not seen much of Michael Porter play. You know, he seems like he's a good basketball player. I always, my dad has kind of ruined me in this. When a kid's dad follows his son to school to coach and all this, I kind of roll my eyes at that also. Plus, the kid's going to Missouri. I'm afraid he's going to get – he may be the one star there. I know they're trying to sign other guys. But, you know, it's hard to build a team around one guy. And the other problem I have with a Michael Porter is if he is the only guy, then they're just going to go to him 100% of the time. So, you know, some people say, well, we need to quit recruiting these top guys and go after the mid-level guys like so-and-so school does. Well, I think the results have kind of proved themselves. I am surprised that Jamaro Baker is, you know, that 77. That sounds like a low number, but I've never seen him play either. So my question is, Jackson, and I don't know the answer to this. Were we ever on Michael Porter's list, or did we ever go after? I know we had to go after him, but what's the story with him in Kentucky?
Well, I do believe that there was some contact early on, but he committed to Washington significantly early in his recruitment. I mean, his dad worked there. Everyone just knew that was what was going to happen. So the only reason he's not ending up there is because Washington decided to fire Lorenzo Romar. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, then it was a question of where will he go with his dad now? And, of course, that's when Quanzo Martin swooped in at Missouri and said, come to Missouri, which is what he has done. He does have a background in Missouri. I did not realize that. His dad was an assistant coach for the Missouri women's basketball team. And so he grew up at least some of the time at the University of Missouri. So there is a background. It's not completely crazy, but I agree with you. I'm not big on these coaches hiring kids' dads or their godfathers. That's why Ben Simmons went to LSU. So far, it has not worked out. Missouri, at least their fans, seem to think they're going to break the mold and suddenly they're going to be all everything. They are in on Kevin Knox as well, though. They had a home visit with him, so they're going to try to swing him their way. It's really going to do it for our show today. We do want to mention yet again that Reggie Warford had his first meal since his kidney replacement, his transplant, excuse me. And so that's really good news, and hopefully things continue to work out well for him. The UK softball team is in action again tonight. They are at Indiana at 6 p.m. If you want to pay attention to that. I don't think you can watch it tonight. It's on Big Ten Network Extra. And I have no idea how to watch that. You can pay attention to it, though, on Twitter. And hopefully we'll be able to talk about another win with them tomorrow. Join us back here in studio again tomorrow. Rest of the week, it looks like it'll be myself and my dad here. And tomorrow we are going to have Freddie Maggard on. He's, of course, a former Kentucky football player quarterback who really does some in-depth work on the team these days and should have a lot of really interesting stuff to say tomorrow. So make sure you join us. We'll be right back here at 5 o'clock tomorrow on 1250 Sports Talk on AM 1250 WLRT.